What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here with you on a Thursday night. Joel Nelson producing, moving right along. The start of our third hour together. Show is flying tonight. We're having a great time. Let's go back out to the fan hotline where we find Pirates legend, former closer, Pirates Hall of Famer. Pirates, a lot of things. Kent DeCalvi joins us to talk about Dave Parker. Teak, what's up, man? How are you?
All right, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Dave Parker was he was something else, wasn't he?
He absolutely was. And, you know, as good as he was on the field, he was just as good in the clubhouse. It was, you know, he was the kind of guy that you actually look forward every day to getting to the clubhouse. So he was entertaining. I mean, he was a funny human being with a quick wit, very similar to Steve Blass in the wit department. And, you know, when he and Phil Garner would get going on, which was a match made in heaven, you know, you get this 6 foot, 5 inch, 300 or 230 pound black guy, and this redneck is 5 foot 10 from Tennessee. And they would push each other's buttons from the time they got in the clubhouse until, you know, they left. And probably, I would imagine, sometimes afterwards. And it was just hilarious. And it was a sideshow in amongst itself. And it was great to be able to spend all that time with Dave and, you know, not only watch him on the field and the greatness that was there, but being able to be around him on a daily basis in the clubhouse was, you know, that was special also.
I tell people this all the time, Teak, those that got to see Dave Parker play every day, I am so incredibly jealous. It must have been such a treat to watch somebody so big do so many different things on a baseball field, but you were there. You did get to see that. What made him so unique as a player?
A combination of his size and his abilities. I mean, you know, a guy that big shouldn't be able to run that fast. A guy that, you know, that fast shouldn't be able to hit that hard. You know, a guy that can run fast and hit hard shouldn't be able to throw like he did. You know, it was funny because, you know, yes, Manny Sanguin for about a month was in between Roberto Clemente trying to play right field and not doing a very good job of it, and Dave Parker. Dave Parker took over for Roberto Clemente. And there's really, when you look back on it, there's not a major difference in any part of his game. And the people in Pittsburgh didn't lose any bit of a great right fielder almost from the day that Parker took over as a young kid, you know, playing in Clemente's shadow. The way he was able to play the game and, you know, how lucky were the Pittsburgh fans and how lucky were the Pittsburgh Pirates to lose a person as great as Roberto Clemente and yet have somebody of the same ilk come in and take his place And, you know, it never looked like it was difficult to play right field for about 30 years in Pittsburgh. You know, because they were just so good at what they did, and they had all the similar traits. You know, the speed, the arm, the ability to hit, all those things, you know. And, you know, Dave just kind of picked up right where Clemente left off and continued to play that way and had, you know, helped us have as much success as we had during the decade of the 70s.
Teek, I think that's something that people don't talk about enough with Dave Parker. Like, we talk about the longevity, the physical talents, you know, for 5 years. I think he was, you know, you can make the case he was the best player in baseball. Oh. He certainly has made that case, but it's not easy taking over for somebody like Roberto Clemente, for crying out loud. That's a pretty big shadow, and Dave Parker stepped right in.
Well, and, you know, it's not only the shadow, it's the weight of the shadow. You know, I mean, Roberto Clemente was the guy. I mean, he played with Stargell. He played with a bunch of people along the way that were really, really good players. And yet he stood out amongst that group.
Yeah.
And, you know, and doing it in Pittsburgh, where, you know, the focus of Pittsburgh back then was on baseball. This was a baseball town. The Steelers had not, you know, become what the Steelers became. And this was a baseball town, and that was the baseball star in the baseball town. And Dave Parker was able to, you know, just think back. All the great outfielders, Brian Giles, and, you know, all the guys that have played the outfield, Jason Bay. None of them came close to being as good as Dave Parker or Roberto Clemente. And yet to do it right behind that, in the shadow of that guy, with a, in a city where the people adored him, and yet you really never heard anything about the fact that, you know, he was any less than one of the best, if not the best, players in the National League.
Teek, I've talked to you about this before, but I think it's awesome that in the 70s, you know, you guys shared Three Rivers Stadium with the Steelers, and there were friendships that developed and all that stuff. But in the middle of all of it was Dave. Like, I think Steelers, not even, like, forget the baseball guys. Like, I think Steelers were impressed by Dave Parker. Like, did he just have, like, a coolness about him? Or, you know, how did you see that relationship unfold between Dave Parker and football players?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, in the month of September, the last month of the season for us and the first month of the season for them, once they came back from St. Vincent's in training camp, we were together in Three River Stadium for a month, 6 weeks, you know, whatever how amount of time there was. And during those times, you know, I mean, they're playing only on Sundays. We're playing 7 days a week. But during those times, a lot of times they're practicing, you know, in the afternoon or early afternoon. And when they're getting done and coming off the field, we're getting ready and we're going out on the field for batting practice. So, I mean, we literally saw those guys every day. And it was interesting to watch the Steelers when they're coming off. And, you know, I mean, we all had relationships with the guys and, you know, we talked and said hi and, you know, they were paying attention to what we were doing. We were paying attention to what they were doing. But just to watch them watch Parker, because he really was a specimen more in the mold of who they were. You know, the big linemen, the guys, the big strong guys, you know, they were part of what Dave Parker was, but he was also like Wim Sloan and John Stallworth. He was quick. He was fast. You know, he had Bradshaw's arm. You know, he was a combination of everybody on that football team. And, you know, yes, the rest of us, especially myself, would walk by them and I would go, oh, my gosh, look how big they are. They walk by them and goes, oh, they're just like me. You know, and, you know, and they had the outstanding ability individually and as a group that we had. And, you know, I think each one of us admired the other one, because they were kind of made up the same way we were made up, and we were made up the same way they were. So we could understand what their attitude was about doing their job, and they could understand how well we were doing our job. And, you know, I think there was a mutual admiration society between the two groups as far as what, you know, what we were doing, how we were doing it, and how consistently we were doing it.
Teek, I can't believe that those Steelers players weren't impressed by your physique. Shame on them for not realizing that.
Well, I think Bradshaw did one day. I was 6'4", and, you know, apparently he thought I had good hands. We found out later that it wasn't accurate. And as we're walking off the field, he goes, he yells at me. I turn around and look at him, and he's 40 yards away from me. You know, he's almost down by the end zone, and I'm just getting out by the back of the infield, which is about the 40, 50-yard line. And he yells at me, and he throws a football. And literally, when I went to catch it, it turned my hands out and just drilled right through my hands. That's how hard he could throw a football. I don't know that I could throw a baseball as hard as he threw that football. At least it seemed like it at the time. You know, I could throw 90 mile an hour about. And it seemed like that football was being thrown a lot harder than that. And that's after a whole day of practice.
Yeah.
You know, he's already cooling down and getting ready to go in and get a shower. And so, yeah, that I think he probably overrated my physique and my abilities at that point in time.
Now, you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. So you talked about Dave Parker and Phil Garner. I agree with you. I love seeing the two of them go at it. You know, Dave Parker, in sort of a camaraderie or kinship or whatever with some of the Steelers players. What are some other favorite Dave Parker stories that you've accumulated over the years?
Well, I think what my most favorite one, and we always talk about Dave Parker's wit. You know, and Dave had such abilities, physical abilities. He was basically better than almost everybody else that he played against. You know, he could run faster, he could throw harder, he could, you know, hit further. He could do everything better than everybody else. So he had a way of trying to motivate himself. He didn't want to just be better than everybody else. He wanted to be as good as he could possibly be. And to do that, he had to put pressure on himself. You know, he had to put himself in a position where, and because he was as outgoing as he was, and because of the way our clubhouse was, you know, nobody was safe. And Stargell was just as fair game as Matt Alexander, pinch runner was. You know, everybody got on everybody. Well, Dave would make these outlandish statements, and I think probably one of the most popular ones, and we've heard a lot about it just recently with his passing, was, you know, when the leaves turn brown, I'm going to win the batting crown.
Yep.
Batting crown. That's a very famous one that he had. And he started that in 1977. And he won a batting title in 1977. So the next year we go to spring training. And he shows up and he goes, when the leaves turn brown, I'm going to win my second batting title, the batting crown.
Yeah.
And he goes out and wins his second batting crown. So now in 79, we go to spring training again. When the leaves turn brown, I'm going to win my third batting crown. Of course, he didn't in 79. Somebody yeah. else, well, I can't even remember who. Oh, did Keith Hernandez win in 79?
That sounds right. Remember. I'll look it up while you go.
Yep. MVP was Willie. But anyway, he didn't win the batting crown. So, you know, we win the World Series. And, you know, after the World Series is over, everybody breaks up and you go home. So you don't. Everybody doesn't get back together until the first day of spring training. That's the first time all 25 of us are back together again. There's some non-roster guys and stuff in there also. So we go in the first day, and now we have been waiting for 3 years for Dave not to win a batting title. So the 24 of us, we have our first meeting out, a big group meeting out on the field. And, you know, Chuck's getting ready to say whatever he's going to say to the team about, you know, 79, and we got close last year, and, you know, it's going to be our year to do it. And all of a sudden, we had organized that the other 24 of us, well, most of us, you know, everybody was back. A couple of guys left, but most everybody was back. And so before Chuck started the meeting, all 24 of us in harmony went, When the leaves turn brown, Dave Parker launched his batting crown. And Parker, being the quick wit that he was, not hesitating a bit, as if he almost knew it was coming, which he may have, goes, you know, I thought the batting crowns were being a little selfish because that was all about me. So I decided this last year that I was going to help you guys all become world champions. So I didn't worry about the batting crown. I worried about being the world champion. And I made all of you world champions. Place broke up. Because, I mean, even in that situation, he has come up with the perfect comeback in the, you know, the first day of spring training. Who's expecting this? And that was just, you know, that's what he did. But, I mean, he always, everything that he did, he always did it to put pressure on himself, and then it made him have to perform and have to accomplish the goals that he, you know, that he was talking about, because those goals were good for the team.
We're chatting with Kent DeCalvi on the Fan Evening Show, talking about Dave Parker. Teek, did you ever tell him about his stats against you? I would not shut up if I were you. He's 0-9 in his career against you, or he went 0-9 against you.
Well, I did discuss it with him a couple of years ago when I saw
him. Good for you.
And,
good.
Yeah, and I told him, and I, you know, I told him what a dummy he was. I mean, he watched me pitch for 10 years with the Pirates. He watched me throw left-handed batters, sinkers away. They would try to pull him, and they hit ground balls to second. And that's exactly what he did 9 times. You know, and all 9 weren't to second base, but he hit little weak ground balls in the infield, maybe a pop-up or something like that.
Yep. He fell so right into it.
You watched me for 10 years, and you didn't know that you shouldn't try to pull the sinker away. You know, so, you know, it was one of those deals where, you know, you very seldom did anybody have something that they could drop on Dave that, you know, was good, and especially one of the guys that was on the World Series team, and we accomplished so much together, and we felt so much about each other. There was such a camaraderie there. And to be able to finally come up with something after all these years, and he had been in Cincinnati for a while, and that's when I faced him, when he was with the Reds, when I was at the end of the Pirates, and then my time in Philadelphia. So, you know, I had an opportunity to give it back to him a little bit, and then he still won the battle over the years, because he got more times that he dinged me than I ever dinged him.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. So I know personally, Teek, I saw when he passed, you know, I just like put my head down, just crap. You know, that was my immediate thing. Like, he should have been in Cooperstown. I'm curious, one, what your reaction was when you heard the news, and then two, you know, if Dave had the opportunity to deliver a message to people, which he should have had in Cooperstown, you know, what might that message have included, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, you know, my first thought was I lost a friend. I lost a dear friend. That was the first thing. It had nothing to do with baseball. It had everything to do with the friendship that we had developed over the years. So that was my first thought. My next thought was, well, I was sad because of the fact that, yes, indeed, he wasn't going to be able to go to Cooperstown and be inducted. He should have been inducted before he ever got sick. And he was sick for 10 years.
Yep.
But he should have been inducted way back then when he would have. I mean, at this point, he probably would not have been able to give a speech anyway. But 10 years ago or 12 years ago, he would have been able to give a speech. And I can guarantee you it would have been one of the funniest speeches that anybody has ever given. I mean, to me, Bob Bucher gave the funniest Hall of Fame speech that I ever heard. And Dave's would have had a bunch of stuff in it because the sharpness of how Dave said things and the, you know, what kind of set people off that didn't understand him, you know, they took it the wrong way was, you know, he was talking like he was in the clubhouse and we were all in there and he was just, you know, everything was fair game. And he just always did that. And, you know, as he went, as he got older when he went to Cincinnati and then to Oakland before he made his last couple stops, you know, he had gotten a lot more mellow in how he handled the public and even the media for that matter. So, you know, it would have been, that would have been the version of Dave Parker that would have gave that speech. And I wish I would have had the opportunity to hear it because it would have been one of those, you know, as short as Maz's was, Parker's would have been long, hilarious. And for those of us who understood the relationship in our clubhouse, it would have meant even more. You know, if he's cracking on somebody or, and then he would have been cracking on some of us and everything else. But, you know, it was just, it was a shame that he didn't get a chance 10 or 12 years ago to give that speech when he was capable of doing it.
Kent Tekulve, thanks so much, Teek. It's a pleasure. Appreciate your time, man. Have a great rest of your night.
All right, Jason, enjoy the 4th of July tomorrow.
I will. You too. Kent Tekulve.
All right,
man. Kent Tekulve, he's the best. Talking about Dave Parker, so many good thoughts and memories. Dave Parker, a legendary player, and I meant every word of that. I do not have the lens on Dave Parker that some of you listening do. I'm jealous. I wish I could have seen him play all the time. Being on the Pirates beat, it's a unique experience. And one of the things that I learned very early on was how much the old stuff, nostalgia, the history means to people around here. And again, I grew up here. It's not like I was unaware of any of it. But from a reporter, writer standpoint, you cannot do enough of it. And so I loved writing about Dave Parker, getting to know Dave Parker, talking to people about Dave Parker, learning about Dave Parker. It was also my childhood. And I was born in 1983. The first team that I cared about was, you know, one of those early 90s Pirates teams. That's how I fell in love with baseball. It's not like I was watching Dave Parker every day, but I was aware of who Dave Parker was. I think I had somewhat of a unique childhood in that my dad was an obsessive baseball fan, took great pride in educating me about players in our city's history that I should know, former Pirates, Negro Leagues players. You know, I was probably the only kid who was taken to West Field from a very young age and talked to about why this is important and why you should know, and not that I know everything, but my dad loved watching Dave Parker and loved Dave Parker's story. I remember the first time I ever interviewed Dave Parker, it was at PNC Park in 2019. I shifted over to the beat that May, and there was an event, I think it was the 40-year anniversary of the 1979 team. That would track years-wise, but somebody asked Dave how he would fare today if his team played at PNC Park, and he said, we would have capsized some boats. And it was absolutely incredible. I went to a premiere of The Cobra at Twilight, an event at PNC Park that year. MLB Network presented a documentary or put together a documentary on Parker. If you've never seen it, I can't recommend it enough. But got to talk to Dave and his wife, Kelly, at the time. And anytime Parker was around PNC Park, I would certainly make a point to talk to him and interview him and spend any time that I could around him. Just a legendary player, a legendary story. And we lost a good one. And it's a sad story, really, because he should have been in Cooperstown. I understand what Teek is saying about, you know, he thought about his friend. And of course, you can't help but think about a friend. And I wasn't lucky enough to say, you know, Dave Parker was my friend just because I didn't go through what Teek went through with him. But, you know, as a baseball fan, as somebody who's a fan of, you know, good stories and what people should be allowed to do, it just stinks. You know, Dave Parker should be able to be in Cooperstown talking about the way he feels about going into the Hall of Fame. Yes, we can sit here and say, oh, you know, he knew. You know, Dave got to learn that he was going to be a Hall of Famer. You know what? That's not good enough. The Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball, the BBWA, all the people that contribute to Hall of Fame voting. And one day I'll be one. You have to be in for 10 years. I haven't been in for 10 years. You get a vote. You also bear responsibility. And there's no reason, absolutely no reason, that it should have taken this long for Dave Parker. One of the things that I bristle at when I hear Dave Parker's legacy and why he didn't get into the Hall of Fame, and if anybody cites the drug trials. He did cocaine in the 80s? Guess what? A lot of people did cocaine in the 80s. I hope you're not holding that over him. On ability alone, Dave Parker unquestionably should have been in the Hall of Fame, and he should have been in the Hall of Fame in a way that allowed him to have his day. It's a beautiful setting in Cooperstown. If you've never been, go. It's worth every penny. And he would have had the opportunity in just an awesome, awesome setting that you heard Kent DeColvey describe to talk about what that honor meant to him, to crack some jokes, to talk about himself. He should have had that opportunity. Now he won't. I don't know what I'm going to do. I was going to go up there to write about Dave Parker. I'm still inclined to go. I don't think it means the story has disappeared. I think the reporting of the story needs to be a little different. But somebody representing Parker will be there. I think we still have a responsibility to go. I hope to go. But it's just sad because he should have been there and he should have been able to articulate what he was thinking. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. I talked a little bit ago about wanting to get back into some Steelers topics. Omar Khan, the Steelers general manager, has a 3-year extension. I think it's time that we kind of talk about his legacy, what he's done, what's good, what's bad, what do we know? What can we learn from Omar Khan? How much pool does he have? Is his best move yet to be made? What is his best move? Whole bunch of ins and outs there. A conversation around Omar Khan. We'll do that when we get back. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mack. You're listening to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.